TNS still.
I was actually gonna like give you a pass immediately because I thought what you were really doing was pointing at your daughter. And how could I argue with that? But what you're really saying is that I have to stand in line with everyone else.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 27 for Wednesday, the 11th of March, 2015. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and with me, as is normal, I guess, my friend Kent. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. How you doing, man?
I'm going to make it my task to introduce you a different way each time. Just
that
do it
sounds
completely
good.
Off the cuff to see what happens.
Yep, just change it up. I'm done.
Hey, man, I got news for you, dude.
What's that?
We have another guest, another brand new guest this week on the show.
Yay!
Yeah, Mr. Richard Gunther from, pretty much all around the internet, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. I got tired of hearing my name on the show, so I figured I should show up.
Hey,
awesome.
Hey, I don't know what the problem is, man. Well, we were very happy to have you on. We've already taken up about half an hour of your time just shooting the shit, not really saying much, so I suppose it's time we get on with the real thing. How's your week been?
It has been busy.
Hey, that's my line.
Anytime you start a reply with, yeah.
I'll tell you, as you know, I'm going to South by Southwest, and yeesh. I'm leaving tomorrow for South by Southwest, and so I basically had to cram a work week into 3 days.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds good. I've not done any work so far this week, so I'm basically going to try to do about the same in half a day tomorrow. But that's not really saying much because I don't have a job anymore since I've been replaced. So,
aw.
Yeah. Hey, man.
That's a good thing, though.
It's a good feeling. It certainly is. I'm going to be sad to see some of it. Well, see me leave some of these people, but I'm happy as hell to be getting the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. So, Kent, how's retirement coming?
It's coming. Lots and lots of appointments and paperwork and handing over of accounts and all that fun stuff. Plus, I still have to pretend like I'm a flight chief. So
yeah, yeah. Have you packed yet?
Packed for what?
So you, me, and Richard are all on the same packing schedule, apparently.
Yeah. At the last minute.
Yes, yes. A little less important for us, I guess, because we're only going to be going there for a couple days, but you'll be there for a whole week, Richard.
I am. This desk full of cameras and recording equipment and stuff like that's been there for days. There's a suitcase somewhere.
That'll fit into the equation at some point, I'm sure.
All right, man. So what do you plan on doing down there in South By?
So I've been going for the last probably 6 or 7 years now. And I started going to Interactive. And, you know, I am no longer really hands-on. I have a technical job, but I do more project management activities. And so I'm not really up on the latest and greatest. And things like South by Southwest are great conferences for just getting a taste of what's going on in the tech space in a bunch of different areas. So that's why I started going there. And then I got the film bug and I started getting the film badge too, which is such a waste of money. It's ridiculous because I think I pay something like a premium of $300 and I usually end up going to like two movies, but but I have options, right? And more parties.
There we go. But by the time you've bought the interactive badge and the movie badge, you pretty much just might as well have gotten the super gold, extraordinary, platinum lined, holy crap, I get to meet everybody in their private hotel room badge, right?
Yeah, so I won't be able to see Snoop Dogg with the badge that I have. That's the one that I'll miss.
You're in Maryland, right?
I am in Maryland.
So pot's not legal there, so it's not like you can take anything back with you.
That is true.
Yeah, see. So, I guess not that big of a loss. All right. You are actually going for work, really, though, right?
Well, sort of. I mean, this is actually a vacation for me. I take the week off, and I just kind of call this, you know, like a personal enrichment week. That's what I'll call it. Yeah.
There we go.
Hey, sounds good to me.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. All right, we will. We'll all be down there. You're arriving tomorrow morning or tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow afternoon. Yep.
Tomorrow afternoon.
I'm there for a week.
We'll be there Friday, right around lunchtime, maybe. So that's going to be it's going to be awesome, is what I think. On this show, we like to talk about TED Talks. Have you listened to any TED Talks, Richard?
In the last 2 years, no. So I'll listen.
You're fitting right in today. This is awesome. Well, I watched one. I watched several, and I forgot to look them all up. But one of them was this old dude, and man, I wish I could find it. I tried looking, I couldn't find it. He was talking about only using one paper towel for drying your hands off when you wash your hands. He said, basically, really simple concept, if you take one paper towel, regardless of the type of paper towel, and you shake your hands 12 times, and he gave some kooky explanation for why 12 times, like disciples and zodiacs or whatever, but you shake your hands 12 times, and then you use one paper towel, fold it in half, and there's like some spatial displacement thing or whatever that helps soak up the water, and I listened to that last, like, I think Friday, and I've been doing it since then, and it has never failed me. My hands are always dry with exactly one paper towel, even the shitty brown ones that we have at work. So, highly impressed by that.
I usually only use one paper towel.
That's what I'm thinking as I'm listening to this. I'm like, how big are your hands, dude?
Oh, wow.
Hey, it's not how big they are. It's what you do with them. Wait.
Good point.
No. Is that what she said? Something like that? So I also listened to one. The one I actually want to talk about that I found was really interesting and pertinent to this week. Well, to this show, really. Andy Yen. He came up with a TED Talk called Think Your Emails Private, Think Again. And the basics of it, he goes into a decent amount of detail. Basics are that everybody thinks email is private. You know, in the old days, we used to send letters, we'd seal it in an envelope and send it off. And that's how everybody imagines their email, but it's really more like a postcard. You put it out there, everybody can see the address and everybody can see the contents if they want to. If you really want it back in the envelope, you need to encrypt everything that you do. And they're coming up with some pretty innovative ways to do that. It's where nobody has the key but you, and the servers can't get to it, the government can't get to it, or anything else. And it's all being done at CERN with really smart people on lunch hours. So I thought that was pretty interesting, but yeah. The basics of it is nothing you do on the internet's private, and everything's on the internet, so suck it.
It's a good lesson. But, I mean, the problem with encrypting email is just, for now, it's serious geekery.
Yes, and that's exactly what he was talking about, is Proton Mail, I think is what it was. It's all back end. It's all just innate in the system. They're rebuilding their email network, their whole system, so that the user doesn't even realize what's going on. It's just built in from the ground up. So it's constantly set up that way, and it's great.
Cool.
So how about you, Ken? What you got?
Yeah. Well, all right. I watched a TED Talk today. I hadn't found a chance. Well, no, I'm lying. I was lazy and I didn't watch one until today. I was actually disappointed with the one that I chose.
You got a story like I did last week.
Yeah. I watched a show by, or a talk by Scott McCloud. The title of it was The Visual Magic of Comics. I thought, you know, I haven't really done much geeky this week, so let me watch a TED Talk about comics, and then I can kind of combine the two things. Yeah. The guy seemed really interesting, and I think he would be an interesting speaker if he had a larger platform, like a 30-minute minimum, maybe an hour. He had a lot of cool things to say, but I don't think he made his point. He was kind of talking about where, like, the origins of comics, you know, starting with like cave paintings, basically, and then what it is now and what it could possibly become. You know, as a visual medium using computers and you know, what have you. And I think he was getting around to something that probably would have been pretty cool, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he ran out of time and was cut because he abruptly ended the talk. He's like, well, I could talk forever about this, but I got to go. And then the talk, just, like, it went black. So I was like, ah. So, I don't know. For what it was interesting, but I don't know. I wouldn't recommend this one.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I mean, there, when you have something as amazing as TED Talks usually are, which, by the way, the TED Conference is happening this same week, same time as South by Southwest, apparently. Mm-hmm. When you have something that amazing with people that are just that smart and that knowledgeable about certain subjects, you're going to end up with ones that are just crap, that you just don't get anything out of. Or maybe it's your expectations versus their delivery, but either way, it's, you know, utterly unsatisfying.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of liked the way that he talked. I kind of liked his style, and he wrote a book. Basically, the talk was kind of, I guess, supposed to be a condensed version of his book. So maybe I'll pick up the book and enjoy the book.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. Well, we'll see.
It's worth a try. For those who actually care, I have not read any more of the Stephen Hawking book that I was working on.
Yeah, yeah. I've been pretty bad about reading lately, so I can sympathize.
Yeah, it's hard to find time just for anything like that. But anyway.
Can I tell you the last book I read?
Let us guess. Let's give us an overall topic, but not a genre. And let us try to figure it out from there.
Not a genre?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, don't say tech, you know what I mean? Or don't say, you know, business building.
Okay.
You know?
Biography.
Ooh. I think the only two major biographies that I know of that came out were the recent one about Abraham Lincoln and the one about Steve Jobs. So I'm going to go with Abraham Lincoln because it just seems less obvious.
I was going to pick Steve Jobs, actually. One of the several biographies of Steve Jobs is out there.
The extent of our knowledge, man, we are spent.
So, Kent is right.
Oh!
Yay! What do I win?
When did he pass away? Over 3 years ago now.
I was actually in Korea the first time there, yeah.
And I'm up to chapter 4.
Oh. 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 Huh.
Yeah. I don't read.
So, Walter Isaac, is it Isaac or Isaacson?
Isaacson, yep.
Okay, Walter Isaacson wrote that. He had planned on publishing it, and I won't give away the ending, but he dies.
Steve dies at the end?
No, that's not what I said at all. Why would you assume that? So he published it at a key time in the story, basically, is what I want to say. And it came out, and I acquired the digital copy right about the time we went into an exercise in Korea. So it's a week long of, you know, sucking rubber and not having fun. During that time, I had it on my iPad, and I finished it during that, like, the 3 days or whatever, 4 days we were in exercise.
Yeah, there you go. Hmm.
Yeah. Kent, have you read it?
No, I haven't.
Such a loser.
My bad.
I like what I've read. I just don't read, you know. And now, you know, I used to read on planes. Now I can just open my laptop and have connectivity and get work done.
Yeah, yeah.
I sleep on airplanes. I mean, I cannot stay awake. As soon as we start taxiing, I'm falling asleep.
I can actually attest to this. Yeah. So, we've flown together a few times, and he hasn't survived a single one.
Yeah. Wow. I have to tell whoever's sitting next to me, I have to tell them, wake me up when the food comes.
I so wish I could do that. I have been on international flights with a full flat bed and I can't friggin' sleep.
My problem is the fact that I'm too tall to sleep because I like to sleep hunched over. I can't sleep when I'm sitting up. So, as the seats get closer and closer together, as the airlines try to make a little bit more money each time, I just gotten to where I can't sleep on an airplane at all. Except for this last time I came back from deployment, they gave us first class seats. And I laid down, and I don't remember most of that flight, and it was amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, I've slept in the jump seat of a C-130. So, yeah. And during a combat, I woke up during the combat landing. the whole corkscrew roller coaster ride horrible experience thing. Yeah,
that's awesome. Oh man, have you ever? Have either of you ever been in the cockpit during takeoff or landing of an aircraft?
KC-135, I was.
On takeoff or landing?
No, takeoff.
Okay. Richard?
That would be a no for me unless you consider like a
flight sim.
Small. No, like I've been on small planes for tourism where there basically isn't a discrete cockpit.
Right. Coming back from that trip, they let some of the guys go up there and sit in the cockpit for takeoff. I'm sure it's completely against the FAA rules, but whatever.
Oh, probably.
and it was a commercial airliner. It was a I want to say 777. I'm not sure. Maybe a 767. But on landing, I went ahead and asked the question. I was like, hey, can we go up there for landing? So me and a couple guys went up there and watched them land in Baltimore. And we landed at like 4 o'clock in the morning. We were the only plane like in the air. You know, the little radar was completely empty. And it was these two really old dudes flying. And I was okay with it. We were sitting there, and there's three of us sitting in, like, you know, two seats. And it's completely pitch black, except for the city lights down, you know, and you got, of course, the normal dashboard stuff. And I've been on planes enough as a maintainer to know what was going on. When they cut off the autopilot and just started doing it themselves, and I couldn't even see the target, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's right there. I was like, I'm half your age. I guarantee my eyesight is better than yours. I can't see nothing but just lights, and you're just cruising right on in. That was, I used to call earthquakes the ultimate roller coaster because you don't know how long, how strong, or when they're going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the ultimate roller coaster because my life literally depended on two old guys working shit out.
Were they, nice use of the word literally, by the way, were they right?
Literally, yes.
Were they right? I mean,
they were.
Well, there you go.
They were. It was still scary though. I got a small bit of relief when I could actually start seeing the little trail lights, you know. But then we started actually coming in for landing, and they're sitting there jerking the wheel left and right, and he's pulling up and down, and I was like, oh, are you sure you should be moving anything in this plane that hard when we're that close to the ground? Like, it looked like a 3-year-old playing Pac-Man on the world's biggest joystick. He was like, ah, 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 ah. I was like, oh my God, we're going to die. We're going to die. Of course, I couldn't say that. But yeah, once it actually landed and they hit the thrust reversers on and everything else, and we started slowing down, I was like, oh, I'm not doing this again.
Sometimes you're better just not knowing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the next day when I took the flight from there to Dallas, that's all I could think of was, I know what's going on up there now.
So, Amos, have you ever gotten an incentive ride on a fighter?
No. No, I've never been so lucky slash, you know, chosen.
Oh, it's pretty much the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
A few years ago at Red Flag when I was
16?
There. Yeah, F-16.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. You want to talk about an amazing roller coaster ride. That, wow. It's at the same time the scariest and most awful thing that I've ever done and the most amazing cool thing that I've ever done, all in one package.
Did you throw up?
No, I did not.
Nice. Did you go supersonic?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. A couple times. And I think I got
these
up
are
to
the things that matter.
6.5 G's, and I almost, read it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
I was getting the like the tunnel vision, and I was about to go, and I couldn't breathe. I was just.
Slight hypoxia.
Yeah, and just when I thought, okay, this is it, I'm gonna pass out. We came out of it. We leveled off, and everything's fine.
Yeah, those pilots. I think they practice that on each other just to be able to do that at the exact right moment.
I was gonna say, you know, that was planned.
Oh yeah, it probably was. But the thing was, I was on a FAM flight, and it was during an actual Red Flag mission, so we were dodging SAMs and all kinds of. I mean, it was crazy.
Awesome.
But yeah, it was pretty neat.
No, when I go to Korea, I'll be in the A-10, the Warthog Squadron.
Mm.
So I'm hoping to, I mean, if I'm going to get an incentive flight, the A-10 would be the one to go.
Well,
I don't even know if they have dual seaters. I've never seen one.
Yeah, they don't.
See, I'll get loaded in a bomb pod and go.
There you go. That would be a hell of a roller coaster.
Yeah. Oh, man. So this brings up an interesting point, though. Kent and I are both veterans, both Air Force. Kent's about to retire from it, and my wife decided that it's time for me to continue on. So how, if any, affiliation with the military have you had, Richard?
My only affiliation has been as a contractor in the civilian space. I probably spent the first 10, 15 years of my career doing IT contracting and almost exclusively federally. So I spent a year working at Fort Ben Harrison in Indiana, which was a big accounting center. Used to be a warehouse, complete with the forklift ramps and all. Turned into office space. It was beautiful.
That's your typical air military establishment right there.
Yeah. Repurpose.
Yeah, the rain don't come in this place no more. Let's go ahead and put a bunch of people and computers on here and make it work out.
Absolutely. You don't need air conditioning, just miles and miles of parking lots.
Yes. Power outlets? Nah, we just chain together about 43 extension cords and call it good.
No, literally hanging from the ceiling. Power cords hanging from the ceiling that you plugged your computer into.
I am not surprised.
Yeah, this weekend you'll hear some stories about us being deployed, I bet, and that's pretty much what it is. Like,
that's standard. Yeah.
There's water there. Hey, let's go ahead and patch that hole with about 14 power cords. That should do the trick. like how is that even safe? It doesn't matter. We're deployed. It'll work.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's the craziest stuff happens. So that's cool. Indiana, how long did you actually live in Indiana?
I was there for a year. I lived right outside of Indianapolis.
Oh, fun. Okay, because me and Ken are both from Indiana, so Ken actually lived there his whole life in the same house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like it's 18 years
for
in 18 the same
whole
bedroom.
Years, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy to think I've been away from Indiana, meaning I've been in the military longer than I haven't been in the military.
Yeah.
That kind of blows my mind.
Huh. What were you going to say, Richard?
I don't have anything bad to say about Indiana. I just, the thing of note is that it was very, very flat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lots of corn.
Yes. Corn and soybeans.
Yep, pretty much.
Oh man, yeah, that's pretty much all there is in Indiana, especially now that Indiana Beach is closed, I believe. So, you know.
Is it?
Yeah, I heard rumors that it was gone. I was like, oh, I never made it there, so no big heartache on mine. Old Indiana, on the other hand, that was a trip.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
Yeah,
it was nowhere near the scale of a Six Flags or a Disney park or something.
No,
like that.
No, nowhere near.
But it was fun. Are you the small town equivalent of a Disney?
Are you a theme park kind of guy, Richard?
Yeah, when I was there, we went to, I think it was Kings Island in Ohio.
Yeah.
I never made it there either.
Oh, I think I was there twice.
Like, I am the worst Hoosier, man. All the stuff that everybody does in Indiana, I never did. Place I went was Turkey Run, and I think we spent half the weekend drunk and the other half naked. So, yeah,
or both at the same time.
Yeah, I mean that was it.
Sounds like you did it right.
And we almost died on the way home.
That happens.
we were going down this back road. You've been down the back roads in Indiana, I'm sure. Going down a back road, and the road just dropped out of nowhere, just dropped. But of course, it was super foggy, and his headlights were crappy. So all we saw was no more road. Right, we're going like 70 miles an hour down this road in this, what was it, a 78 Nova or some shit?
77 Granada.
Was it in the Granada? Either way, the 77 Granada, the seven shades of shit brown. We were driving, and all of a sudden, there's just no more road. All we see is like cloud. Wow. And, That was probably the scariest moment of Kent ever driving.
Yeah. That was pretty bad.
We didn't get a good laugh of afterwards. So, wow, we have gone completely off the rails of everything that we wanted to talk about tonight.
Did we actually have things to talk about?
No, but we were actually talking about things, which makes this completely off the rails. That's what's going on here.
Isn't right, that then. Your format?
More or less, lately it has been. Yeah, and we enjoy it. So, and we're actually...
our numbers are actually up after we've changed the format and just started shooting the shit.
What was that? That was like a strange voice coming from the ether.
Yeah. Seriously, I really enjoy just the spontaneous conversation you guys have. I think it's very entertaining.
And actually, that's why we started doing this, because we're like, you know what? Yeah, yeah. We have these fun conversations. We should share these.
Yeah, that's really cool that
you're
enjoying.
Just listening about all the ways that the world's going to end, you know, because that can really get under your skin.
Oh, my gosh. And after we finished the episode, we were looking back in notes, and we there's so many ideas we did not remember to talk about. Yeah. We should almost do a part two of that episode, because there's so much we left behind.
Yeah. How we could all die part two.
Yes, we're all going to die.
Do the current format version of that show. That could be interesting.
Well, no, we couldn't do that. We couldn't have the current random format on a topic to show. That could be its own topic, though. So, you know.
It could.
The idiosyncrasy of itself.
I'm getting lost now. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, man. Fun stuff. And, you know, I did have like three things that I wanted to talk about this week. Okay, first of all, completely unscripted. I had no idea I was going to do this until right now, because I'm doing it.
I see one. What are you talking about?
Why are you here? Oh, that's right, because I invited you. My bad.
Oh, yes.
So I have this app called Circa. And I don't know if I heard about it from somewhere, or maybe a DTNS pick or something. I don't know. It's called Circa. It's basically curated news list, and it's just it gives you topics that you want to know, because you can select which topics you hear about, which you don't. And this is pretty much how I keep up on world events, and it's pretty awesome. I would just wish I could find the stories that I had read earlier today that I actually wanted to talk about. The CIA can't crack Apple's hardware encryption, and a bunch of other random stuff. But really what I want to talk about is the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, we're all about the sports ball on this show.
Sports ball. Go sports ball.
Yeah, go. Is it team club? Go team club ball sport.
So I got to ask you this, because I had never heard that in... till I listened to Brian Brushwood. Is that a Schwoodism, or do people really say sports ball?
Oh, no, that's... they could. As far as I know, it is a complete Schwoodism.
Okay.
And I believe you may have just coined a term, Schwoodism.
Schwoodism. Yes. What of the three of us needs to tweet that?
Yes, yes. Or all three at the same time.
Yes, let's do that.
sports ball. That's it. They released Frank Gore, their all-time leading rusher, the absolute savior of that team the last few years, and how they should have won the Super Bowl but didn't a couple years ago. And that just, it's about time for me to become a closet 49ers fan again. It's stupid shit like that
come
just
back
kills me,
closet.
Man. No, go back into the closet.
I go back in. Just, yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking,
well, you don't want to let people know that you're a fan?
Yeah. You just kind of, you wear your shirt in the house, you know, it becomes the house clothes. Like, right. People come by the house, and they see the 49ers magnet on the fridge, and you're just like, somebody just gave me that shit. I don't even know where it came from. You know, I think it's one of the kids. I think they made it in school or something. I don't know. I can't throw it away, though, you know. And then as soon as they start winning again, or at least as soon as they make some decent... I don't mind a team that loses. Let me make this clear. I am not a fair weather fan. I am a fair weather of decisions fan. If you're going to keep making poor decisions, I'm not going to keep supporting you. Mm. You know, they had some great decisions for a while there. They had some really good player choices and things like that. I forgave them for Alex Smith. I forgave him slightly less for Colin Kaepernick, because he actually had decent talent the first year he was there. But if they're just going to keep screwing things up, I'm just, you know, I don't have much time as it is. I don't need to sit there and watch them the entire time.
Yeah, I haven't had time or made time really to watch a football game other than the Super Bowl and a game here or there randomly. And so long. It's been a really long time since I've really followed sports.
But how are you on your drama? I mean, WWE.
Yeah.
Come on, that's real.
Whenever Isaac is over, what's that?
I said, that's real.
Yeah, it's totally real.
I remember watching the
Isaac's
clip.
Isaac's a huge fan, and I try to keep up. Whenever he's here, he likes to watch it, so I try to keep up when he's here. WrestleMania is coming up
again
at the end of this month, and yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Oh no, they just had the Royal Rumble, right? Because that was in January.
Yeah,
yeah, those are completely different things.
Yeah. Oh, you act like you don't know about wrestling.
No, I know enough to know that I don't want to know anything else.
You used to follow WCW, though.
I did. Well, it was just really the Steiners and Sting and Ric Flair. Sting is in WWE now.
I don't know if you knew that.
No, yeah, but he's not Sting, though. He's not. Like, it's this,
he's
it's
the
like
crow
this,
version of Sting.
It's like when Scott Steiner went to the WWE or WWF at the time or whatever it was, and he came back and he was like super ripped, and you're just like, dude, you're do you have any blood left? Yeah. You know? And then his brother shows up like one show. And it was the lamest excuse of what the hell ever. And I was just like, I'm done. Like, I gave it a shot and I was done.
Yeah, so. WCW tanked in so many ways before WWE bought them.
Yeah, and yeah, still nothing.
well, so, you know, go ahead.
So, Richard, what is your guilty pleasure? What is the thing that that you grimace every time you have to admit that you enjoy it? And I'm not talking about that. Keep that. Oh, God, see? No, things that you can actually talk about on the radio. He's like, I don't know what he was talking about. Which one don't I want to admit now? Oh, shit.
So, I don't know where you were going. You had a whole episode about that. So,
yeah. What?
Oh, this is going to be a good weekend.
And I loved how you got through that whole episode without actually saying what you really meant. But anyway... So,
yeah. This is the mind of Amos, folks.
So, I'm a television junkie, and so I actually have, I can't even tell you how many hard drives full of stuff that I've recorded on DVRs that I haven't watched yet, because it just looks interesting, and someday I want to watch it. So I watch a lot of TV. Most of it, like, serial kind of stuff, or... like random sitcom. I like sitcoms that don't have a laugh track, stuff like that. Like comedies that aren't laugh track kind of things, and a fair share of dramas. But my true shame is two shows that I watch. One that I'm actually not that ashamed of. It's on now, and I really enjoy the Amazing Race, which is this like goofy thing that somehow has lasted 25 seasons. And it's trumped up drama, but it's also kind of cool because you get to see people trying to push themselves, and I really like that.
And you get to see places you normally wouldn't see in a different kind of light as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Real quick, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I had to tell you my favorite memory of that. I was at work one day, and they had the episode where the lady, like, she was trying to shoot the knights with the cantaloupe or the watermelon or whatever. And she pulls it back and lets go, and it like comes back at her and like hits her right in the face and just nails her out. So we found that clip at work one day, and I was just laughing pretty good. Well, here it is like 3 years later, and I'm talking about that clip to my wife and her sister, and they'd never seen it. So I got the joy of putting that, you know, airplaying that from my phone to the TV. And instead of watching the clip, I watched them.
Right.
And I almost pissed myself from their reactions.
Just watching their expressions.
It was amazing. Like, they were not expecting it. They're like, what the hell? What are you making us watch? What? Oh!
That's awesome.
And my sister-in-law, in her everything in the world is lovely attitude, she was like, what just happened? Like, did that really, is that real? And I was,
That's awesome.
All right, so what is your genuine...
is that I also enjoy and watch Big Brother. Oh. Yeah, I deserve that. I know.
All right, yeah, okay, yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah, see, I've never been much of a reality show guy.
And I'm usually not. Those are the only reality shows that I watch. I don't really like reality television. I get so frustrated. You know, we just lost the Weather Channel on my cable provider. And
awesome.
I'm so glad, because 16 hours out of a day, they're showing stuff that's the equivalent of like Ice Road Truckers and people hunting for ghosts in bad weather. And
yeah, the Weather Channel the Weather Channel is the new MTV.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
They now have a segment called, like, I think it's On the Fives or whatever, like 5 after and 35 after. They have a little bit of weather.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's disappointing. You
know? Yeah. It's junk.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's junk.
Wow.
It's like if the Home Shopping Network started shooting a sitcom. It doesn't fit. It's not right.
Yeah. Yeah. What, is CNN next?
Well, CNN depending on your reality views, show. Yes, depending on your views, CNN might have been fictional for quite a few years.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Actually, I mean, to be honest, the news channels like CNN and, I mean, even Fox and Headline News and CNBC, they all have their own series, you know, like they do these investigative things or...
Oh, yeah, like the magazine-style shows.
That's very true.
You know,
true.
So yeah. We're way past the point of the 24-hour news desk. That just doesn't exist anymore. It's basically a half an hour on loop.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, because even CNN can't find depressing shit to talk about 24 hours a day.
Well, you know, there's that woman who may or may not have killed her husband, Arianis, or something that nobody but CNN cares about. And they're still looking for the plane, so...
The only time I actually watch network news is during the social playoffs. I mean, the general election.
Social playoffs. That's pretty much what it is now.
That's so entertaining to me to watch them guess, and then especially when they're wrong and they just play along, like, we are now projecting blah, 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 blah. Well, 30 minutes ago, you were talking about the other dude. This is, you know, and they just kind of try to play it through. And then you check the other channels out to see which ones of them were trying to cover their tracks now. And, you know, yeah, I'm all about why I don't vote, but I like watching the results of other people voting.
You're doing it wrong. It's Jon Stewart is the show to watch on election night.
Oh, yeah.
He's about to retire.
I know. I'm really bummed about that.
Yeah, I heard about that.
He's been doing that show for a long time now.
You know, we're going through like this phase of really good comedians that have their own shows either losing or retiring from their shows. I mean, we just lost Craig Ferguson. He's not doing the Late Late Show or whatever it is anymore. Jon Stewart, who are the other ones?
How long ago did Leno quit?
Well, yeah, I mean, Colbert's taking over something, isn't he?
I think so. I think he's just moving spots, but it's going through this whole transition. You know, it's kind of an interesting time to see the old guard go away and the new guard come in. It's like if you're a SNL fan and you watch a lot of SNL, when they have 50% of the cast move on to, you know, movies and they have all these new people, you're just like, oh. Wait a second.
Well, Ken, I mean, basically, I think didn't he take over the Night Show from Leno about a year ago? I think it's been a year at least.
It's been at least a year. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't have a cable subscription, so I've cut the cord like for probably. Oh man, if we don't count AFN, which I wouldn't because it was free service. I've been without a cable subscription for probably, good Lord, probably 6-7 years now.
Yeah, the better part of a decade.
Yeah.
Do you use an antenna?
I have an antenna, and I've tried to use it, but where I'm at in Alamogordo, I need something super powerful and an externally mounted antenna to be able to pick up anything worthwhile. I bought the thing just so that I could watch football games, and yeah, I can't get Fox or anything else.
Now, keep in mind, where he lives in Alamogordo, he lives at like the very northern tip of this 4 mile long town. Okay. The base that he works at is like 20 minutes away. Yeah. And the base populace is where all the employed people are. So that is the focus of the antennas and stuff like that. The northern edge of the town, when the base is southwest of the town, Kent's not getting shit.
Well, I mean, I'm 5 miles from Annapolis and about 20 miles from Baltimore, and I don't get anything on an antenna. So,
yeah. Well, I'm right next to the mountains. I'm like right at the foot of a mountain range, and they have a lot of repeaters on top of the mountains. But they're
right
all
the
way on the like the south end of town is where all the repeaters are. So go figure.
So neither one of you are seeing shit on an antenna. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Well, I think I've got 3 God channels and like a PBS and I think I've got a Mexican channel as well.
A Spanish channel.
Mexican channel, man. Really?
Like yeah. Yeah.
I think I get
a Mexican channel.
I do actually get Univision over my antenna. That's like the only thing that comes in.
There you go. Yeah. That's awesome. Oh man. So I get a lot of things on my antenna. I just don't use it because the cable company gives me a $5 subscription to all the same shit. So
yeah, see, now for $5 principle or no, I would have a cable subscription for $5.
Right. That's the only reason I have is because it's $5 plus tax.
Yeah. I mean, they're all basically in a position now where they're almost giving TV away just so that
just to keep the numbers up,
keep the TV service. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Now, let me ask you this, Richard: what kind of internet access do you have there?
I have 50 up and down. I'm on Verizon Fios.
Oh.
That's upsetting.
Did he just like faint or something? What happened?
Yeah, he's having a moment.
We're gonna have to re-record this episode without Richard in it. Because I'm subscribed to 50 down and 3 up. I actually get about 20 down and 2 up.
Wow.
So, and I'm on the highest tier that I can get without a business license.
Are you willing to divulge your provider?
Suddenlink Communications.
Suddenlink.
They're like Time Warner minus the press and money.
So just like them, but on the other end of the spectrum?
Yes, oh, yes. They're the small guys emulating Time Warner. They would be like they'd be like the Cricket Wireless to T-Mobile. You know,
I'm not even following that, but that's okay. We could go down such a rat hole there. We should move on.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. Well, so
I love it when my analogies make no sense at all, even to me. It's great.
So speaking of cord cutting, the big news right now is HBO Go.
Nah, HBO Now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Now. I know. Right after I said HBO Go, I was like, wait, that's not it.
Is that? Yeah. We knew this was coming, right? I mean,
yeah.
But they actually announced it?
They did.
It's at launch, it's going to be an Apple TV exclusive.
Yeah.
That's a win. That is such a win.
Yeah.
So if you're an Apple TV owner or an iOS device owner, then you can sign up for HBO Now. And they'll give you the first month free. They'll give you online access too. You can't even get the online access like on a browser unless you sign up on your Apple device. Like it is locked into Apple.
Yep. Yep. Steve Jobs said he figured it out. That's what it was. Like if I get HBO to people without cable, I'm God.
Yeah.
And the price is right on. I think it is exactly what people expected. $15.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you match that up with the Dish Network thing, Dish? Excuse me, I'm getting my damn shows mixed up.
No, you're right. You're right. It's
the Dish Now service or whatever. Dish.
It is Sling TV.
Yeah, Sling TV. There you go.
Same company.
Yeah. You match that up, those two up, and you're looking at $35 a month, and you've got pretty much all your bases covered.
Yeah.
And that's half the bill for the cable subscription that I used to have that I only watched 2% of. So now the thing with the Sling TV, though, it's not a DVR action. It's actually just live streams, right?
That is correct. They have some DVR capabilities, but only on some channels. Tell me that's not confusing. How do you explain that to your spouse?
You're looking at Roku now. I mean, that's basically why I couldn't do the Roku, because I couldn't explain exactly what was available and where it was available. Even if they had the search feature, and they'd be like, oh, I want to watch this, and go, oh, I have to install an app. How do I install an app on my TV? And it's just, it just went downhill from there.
Apple TV is not that much better, really. I mean, everything's already there, but you have to go hunting for content, you know?
Yeah, so. If they came up with a search system in, like a search API in the Apple TV, of course, if they would just let people develop for the Apple TV independently, it'd be an amazing device. So, or allow us to pull DLNA from our hard drives or something like that, it'd be great.
Well, they kind of do if you have iTunes installed on a computer somewhere, but you have to use their crappy iTunes software.
Yeah, and I'm so tired of iTunes. iTunes is like the biggest mistake. iTunes version, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 on, when it started really getting kludgy, it just pisses me off.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah, and now it's still just as kludgy, but they took away half my controls. Like, what the hell is that?
Right.
Last version, they took them away, but I could refine them. Now, like, I can't even refine them.
Yeah.
So, it's...
So, Amos, since you didn't know about HBO Now, I take it you didn't watch the keynote.
I did not. I didn't watch the keynote. I actually went to go watch the Apple Watch announcement later on that night. Yeah. And, you know, as I thought about it, as I was scrolling on my phone on the shitter... somewhere in between about the second and third search result, I just realized that I'm not gonna get a damn watch because I don't fucking wear one. So, I mean, the only watch that I own that I actually wear, I've got one that I wear sometimes when I work out that my Aunt Paula bought me, and it's like an old Nike one. It's kind of beat up now, but it still works, you know. And I have another one that it's a Zoo York watch. And it's gorgeous, and every time I go out and it's fancy, like when I dress up, I wear this watch, which is maybe 2-3 times a year, but the battery ran out, and I, you know, it's like, and it's another watch that my Aunt Paula got me. Like, my Aunt Paula has great tastes in watch. I just don't wear them often enough to make it worth buying a $10,000 gold Apple watch.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's not happening. So the HBO Now announcement is probably the most exciting thing to come out of that whole hour and a half long monstrosity that was the Apple keynote.
Monstrosity. Ouch.
Oh, that was... man. It's all pomp and circumstance. There's nothing...
Well, of course it is.
Nothing new, nothing innovative. I mean, everything's smaller, lighter, faster.
But I want one.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I mean,
I want the smaller, lighter, faster laptop. I have to have it.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
But I don't need to watch
a gold laptop. Like, I saw a picture of that and I was like, no.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Well, they have it also
the gray
in
is sweet.
Yes, the gray one. Yeah. They've got it in silver and space gray.
Look,
as well.
I don't say this very often. And I don't think anybody that I've not heard of anybody actually saying it out loud, so I'm gonna go ahead and say it. For the record, now keep in mind that I might be the most supportive person of alternate lifestyles becoming mainstream lifestyles or whatever else, but the gold phone, iPad, and now MacBook are a result of Tim Cook's sexual preference.
What? That is such bullshit.
No way.
That is such bullshit.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
So it's just me. I'm the only one.
What are you just like? Are you just trying to bait me? What? I mean, what?
Oh my God.
No, you know, this.
Like, he's actually like stumbling over himself. This is great. All right. What you got?
I'm kind of amazed by that. No, I honestly think that they have found a market for it. I mean, they're. Is a big market for the gold devices in a lot of the Asian countries, and it's doing very well there. And it's probably doing better in the United States than a lot of people expected. So,
I really wish Apple would let results be known on this stuff. because I've seen exactly one gold iPhone since they came out, and I first saw it last week when my mother-in-law arrived.
I've actually seen a lot of women with them, a lot. Because they feel like the other ones, and here's, I'm going to make a huge generalization, but I have heard some women say...
We're kind of on the trail of huge generalizations.
Really? You think? Richard, why didn't you buy the gold one? No, I have heard some women say that they feel like the iPhone looked too techie. It didn't look like something that was nice and pretty, and both the color ones and the gold one kind of fix that problem.
Yeah, I can see that.
I throw my phone in an OtterBox anyway, so it doesn't matter to me what color it is.
Okay. First of all, the 5Cs, like my kids have two. You know, they each have one. My daughters do. the twins do, and the plastic backs on them, like there's a certain quality and mystique at holding an iPhone, and the 5Cs are just completely counter effective to that. It just takes away. So the colors don't even matter in my eyes. Of course, this is my brain, but through my eyes, it's like it just feels. I mean, they've never had a problem. They've never cracked it, never scratched it, anything else. It just feels weird. The gold. I didn't even think about the female market.
I didn't even think about the other 50% of the population.
Yeah, wait, women use phones? Wait,
hey,
what?
Look, just because I'm stuck in the 50s.
Oh my gosh.
I just assumed it was for the gays.
Now I feel like an asshole. Thanks.
I thought you were an asshole when you first said it.
Yeah, well, we all know that I'm an asshole, so it just, you know, concretes it. Yeah, that's one of those things. And as far as the face of the iPhone, in my hand, see, I've had a black iPhone every time they've had the choice of colors. And
me too.
No, it's not a race thing. It's just because I like black. since we're just going down rabbit holes here.
Oh my gosh. So racism, misogyny, homophobia, like what else can we hit here?
People that drink beer are shitty.
clearly. Cheers.
I haven't had enough beers to be shitty yet.
So. I'm just trying to think of anybody else I can offend right now. On the devices that I've had that had the black face on it, it made it really easy to ignore that the face was even there, that the bevel was there at all. On the white iPad that I have, unless I'm reading, like I could be reading a web page that's got a white background or an ebook or whatever else, as long as it's got a white background, I don't notice it. But the second I put on a video or start looking at pictures or whatever else, that white bezel just glares at me and is completely feels out of place that I never experienced with the black bezel iPad that I had.
Yeah, I can see that. I have an iPad mini that I got as a gift, and it was a white bezel. And so, you know, what am I going to do? It's a gift.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't notice it because I use it really only as a reader. You know, when you were saying you're looking at web pages or you're reading or something, it's actually perfect for that. In fact, it probably is better than the black border because of the same reason that you just gave. It just kind of blends into the device. So
right, it actually makes it almost more of a full experience on reading.
Yeah.
But anything else, and it's just like, you know, because even your TVs have a black bezel on them, you know what I mean? So it's what you're used to, and it just always throws me off, so... And I thought if Apple actually was, when the rumors first came out about the gold iPhones and iPads, I thought that they'd make it a black face with a gold backing. I was a bit surprised when I saw the white face with the gold back. And even today, it seems like I was in the Verizon store today and I picked up one and I was looking at it. I was like, it just looks brown. Like it doesn't... It doesn't strike me as gold. It just looks like polished brown. I don't know.
Pyrite.
Not even pyrite. Even pyrite is shinier than that.
Yeah,
you know?
Pyrite is shinier than gold, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. So,
hey, you know what we haven't talked about at all?
Uh-oh.
The main topic.
Oh, hey. How about that?
Oh,
so yeah, so South by Southwest.
Oh, we have a topic? Who put that in there? What the hell?
Yeah, that was I threw it in there right before we started.
You jerk.
Well, I kind of figured, well, apparently we did the same thing that Schwood and Jury did tonight. It was supposed to be all about South by Southwest, but yeah.
Yeah, not so much.
Not so much. Not so much.
So actually, I mean, I'm really curious what you guys are planning on doing, what you're expecting to see there, because you're taking this from a different perspective, right? You're traveling to get there as a non-badge holder.
Yes.
And, you know, you talked about Schwood and Jury. That's really the crowd that they're catering to. And there's a surprising amount of stuff that you can go to at South by Southwest without actually attending South by Southwest.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of what we're doing. We are taking the free approach because we cannot afford those crazy expensive badges. Well, we probably could, but we choose not to. but no, we've got a new podcast. We think it's going somewhere, and we kind of want to go down there and schmooze and pimp it to like-minded people. And, you know, it's a big party for a bunch of nerds, and
that's our audience. The fact that we have a podcast and we want to go down there and try to spread the word about it a little bit and get some more interest and find some more ideas is completely secondary to the fact that I'm getting ready to go to Korea, and this is me and Kent's last time to have a big hurrah for the next year.
Yeah, pretty much.
And what better way to do it than, I don't know, with a whole bunch of like-minded geeks and nerds. And especially when you threw down the gauntlet last year, Richard, and you're like, oh, this great concert over here, just one more example of something Ethan Kane is missing by not attending South by Southwest, the fucking loser that only lives 3 hours away, piece of shit. And I think I have to check my records, but I think that's an exact quote of the tweet that you put out.
I don't know about that quote. I think you might have. I don't know.
Are you accusing me of interpreting
that a little bit? That might be coming from within.
I might have a little bit of internal angst with not having made it to South by Southwest over the last couple of years.
I really like having Richard on here. He calls you on your bullshit.
Well, you know, you're so used to it, you don't even know when I'm bullshitting. So.
I'm immune to your bullshit, I think.
Yeah. He's like, hey, Amos is being an asshole again. Oh, that's just Amos. Richard's like, hey, you're being an asshole. Okay, shit. Yeah, I guess I am. We're going there because well, one, Kent's never been, and two, I had an amazing time last time I went there, in large part due to your company, honestly. And there's a lot of things to do down there that have nothing to do with having a badge. Parties, symposiums. Google is doing an entire plethora of seminars.
Days of seminars.
Yeah, and actually, all the ones that we wanted to attend got brushed out by the fact that South by So Wasted is at 3 to 6, because all the ones we wanted to go to were like 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock. So. So the all the official and educational reasons we were going to go, gone. Just gone. So,
but that in itself, I mean, South by So Wasted, I always trip on saying that. You know, it's a funny name, but it's a great event. And last year was a ton of fun. And, you know, it's basically a rooftop party at a local bar hosted by the names that we're used to listening to and hearing on the tech shows we listen to.
Right.
So you get a chance to actually meet these people and talk to them. And I've known Tom and Veronica for years. And so it was last year was just so great to get to actually catch up with them.
Yeah. You say you've known Tom and Veronica for a while. When did you meet them?
So I did a thing with CNET at CES about 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
they had a kind of like a listener competition to come cover CES with them. And you had to produce a tech video showcasing something and send it in. And I was one of the folks that they picked and was there and got to meet Molly and Veronica and Tom. And
this is back when BOL was just beginning then.
It was kind of in its heyday. It was growing up. It was short-haired Molly.
There you go. Wow, that's actually pretty cool. For those who don't know, it has been, of course, me and Richard haven't stayed in close contact. We've tweeted back and forth. We've emailed once or twice. I don't know if I'd call us like best of friends, but we're definitely, we've got some similar interests and things like that. But every once in a while, one of us will make a call in to either Buzz Out Loud or now Daily Tech News Show or whatever the in-betweens have been, Tech News Today and all that. And I'll be sitting there listening to it and he'll show up. Or I'll make a phone call or an email or whatever. And then I won't even know that I was on the show until I get a tweet from him or a private message from him saying, "Hey, man, heard you on the show." And I was like, "Oh shit! Now I got to go listen." It's been very interesting. You were actually featured. I just watched it very recently when I was doing a prep for this show. Actually, the last episode of BOL.
Yes,
you were actually one of the featured listeners on that show. And I didn't know that, even though I had listened to the last episode, right after it came out. Excuse me. I didn't know that you were actually featured on there. And I thought that was like, wow, weird. And it was like the next day after listening to that or watching that, that you sent me the original email about this show. So
that's funny.
I was like, no fucking way.
Isn't Buzz Out Loud having like a 10-year anniversary thing or something?
They are indeed. I just booked my tickets.
What?
I am like, so yeah, going.
There's like a big deal. Twitter has been blowing up about it.
Yeah, at the Hack 5 studio, they're doing a 10-year reunion show. And it is the last Sunday of this month. And I just cashed in all my frequent flyer miles to go.
No fucking way. So when I first decided that I was going to go to South by Southwest, Kent or no Kent, I sent out a tweet to Molly and Tom and Jason Howell, their old producer, which that was the crew when I started listening was Molly, Tom, and Jason.
Yep, he's going to be there. Veronica's going to be there.
Yeah, I sent a tweet to them saying, "Hey, another BOL meetup at South by?" And that was like back in November or something like that, I think. And so now I'm going to end up missing it because it's in San Fran, right? At Hack 5.
It is. It's north of Oakland.
Yeah. Why couldn't, see if I'd been at Travis, I'd been able to go to that, but not South by. So I guess it's toss ups, but oh man, that would be way cool.
Well, you're going to have a lot of fun at South by. And one of the things that you didn't really say, cause it gets glossed over because South by Southwest is such a big party, but I always leave that conference also inspired because everybody that's there is pretty much someone that wants to learn about or find out about what the great new things are. What's the next big thing? What's the cool new technology? What's the greatest new film or band or whatever. It's people that are really pushing to find the new thing. And a collection of that many people of that mind, you really can't help but come out of it inspired.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's something I learned so many things just from talking to people. The last time I went South by, which as you pointed out earlier in the pre-show was 5 freaking years ago. But I learned so many things just from talking to people and the little conversations and hearing the buzz and hearing what people were talking about and all that kind of stuff. And it's just the environment in Austin at South by is energizing and it breeds ideas. Even if they're not deep, TED style ideas, they're just something to keep it churning. Like if you are on a thought plateau, go to South by. Like, people are going to make you think about things that you hadn't thought of before. You just got to stay semi-sober enough to remember them or write them down.
I'm making a note to look up thought plateau.
Thought plateau. Hey, if you know, I got to coin terms here too, you know. but yeah, that's a, you know, it really is. And Kent has never been. So this will be, you know, this would be my second time showing up. The first time I was just going to go to the BOL thing and go back to my hotel and leave. But then I hooked up with you and, you know, we just hung out for the whole night.
You know what? It's going to suck. And Kent's going to be like, what the fuck were you two talking about?
Everything I've been told is wrong.
Yeah, and Jude's going to be like, I came here for what?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. Speaking of which, it's going to be three white dudes walking around half drunk with a Korean that can drink us under the table. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome.
Well, see, I got the exact opposite impression of Jason.
Really?
Yeah.
That I asked him today. I specifically asked him. I was like, hey, man, I sent you a text, but you never replied. I mean, I talked about the great party and everything else. Do you even drink? Like, he's 28 or some shit. And I was like, do you even drink? And he's like, not usually. Because usually when I party, I party.
Yeah. Well, he said he hasn't drank in a while.
Yeah, see, I never got that text.
So, oh, yeah.
He's talking about his tolerance is low and everything else. I'm like, that's good. I mean, I'm a cheap date. I love having low tolerance.
This is going to sound racist, but isn't there, like, an Asian genetic thing about processing alcohol?
Like, I don't know.
Like an inability to process alcohol efficiently or something?
I don't know, man. Kunsan Air Base would prove you otherwise, but
all right.
Outside that limited scope of knowledge, I honestly don't know.
I don't know how or where
is that, like,
that
the piece of
information came from.
But is that like the African-American tendency towards sickle cell and diabetes? Is that one of those things?
I can't attest for the Korean drinkers because I didn't see a whole lot of them. However, in Japan, I saw many.
I didn't see many sober Japanese people.
Man, let's offend some more people. Come on, who else can we throw in here?
Let's see.
We haven't hit anyone in Europe yet.
Let's talk about gingers. How about those soul-stealing motherfuckers?
Soulless assholes.
You know, I heard that every freckle is a soul that they've stolen.
Oh, is that what it is? Is that what it is?
Just something I heard. I don't know okay, the science.
So
the
whole soulless ginger thing, is that specifically a South Park idea, or did that originate somewhere else? I'm just the idiot that only heard about it from South Park.
I do not know. Oh my god.
For the record, Richard, you tempted us. I mean, you should have known what you were stepping into. Hey, here's a big pile of shit. Oh no, I'm dirty. Oh man.
I've never been in pain from laughing while I'm recording a podcast before.
Welcome to RMP.
You're welcome.
Oh man. Yeah, this is good times. So on to other things completely irrelevant to any conversation we've had so far. Well, except for being at South By and South By So Wasted. How hyped are you about being able to go down there and meet Tom and Schwood and Jerry and whoever else decides to show up?
You were talking specifically to me?
To either one of you. I don't know that Richard has ever met Jerry or Schwood or anybody.
I'm absolutely stoked. I mean, you know, Richard said that, you know, he's known Tom for years.
And Veronica, yeah.
Yeah, Tom to me is a celebrity. I don't think I'm going to be starstruck. I'm not one of those types of people that get starstruck if I see somebody that happens to be famous or whatever, but I'm going to be I'm going to feel very privileged to meet people like Tom Merritt, Brian Brushwood, Justin Robert Young, all of those, you know, the people that I've been listening to and getting inspiration from. I think I told you recently, you know, Jury is really inspiring me because I started listening to his
solo
one
podcast.
Man show, his, you know, the Jury show. And you know, he's got that vibe that I want to grab a hold of and kind of, get some of that going for myself. And, you know, he's a real inspiration to me as far as podcasting goes. And, you know, all those guys are. And I'm really, really looking forward to meeting those guys. And I really hope that I get a chance to at least have a couple of minutes of conversation with at least one or two of those guys. It'd be really cool. So I'm really, really looking forward to it.
What about you, Richard? I know you've met at least a couple of them. Hell, you had a podcast with Tom on it. I don't know if you've ever done anything with Veronica.
I have not yet. I would love to get a chance to actually talk with Brian. I have never really met him before. I've seen him at this event in the past, and every time that I hear him on anything like, well, I used to listen to Tech News or Twit, This Week in Tech. And I just really can't stand the different personalities clashing on Twit anymore, but I can't listen. But when
the only reason I ever listened to Twit is because Tom went there, and when Tom left, I left.
Yeah, well, pretty much me too. I listen to Windows Weekly, which is kind of in my wheelhouse for one of the areas that I cover. Right. But I'd like to meet Brian. You know, when he's engaged in conversation about something, I always find him with like a really insightful perspective on stuff. I don't always agree with him, but I have a lot of respect for the guy.
I think Brian's really good at, and not even like intentionally, I don't think he does intentionally. I think he plays on his own ignorance sometimes, but playing devil's advocate it's just something he's really good at. He does it naturally. He doesn't have to think about it or whatever else. He just, you know, comes out with, well, here's a completely different point of view. Why haven't you thought of this? And, you know, those conversations when I've heard him do that, usually it's with Tom. Tom's like, oh, you know, it takes him back a little bit. And I've seen that with Jerry too. So yeah, I'm interested in meeting him. I don't know that I'll be too starstruck. I might be though, because the first time I met Tom, Molly, and Jason, I was pretty hammered by the time they got there. So they had an open bar, and the open bar started about half an hour before the meetup did, and it was about half an hour after the meetup before they actually made it to the back of the room where we were, and that was just not good news.
And you know what's scary? That's where our evening started.
Yes. That was the beginning of the evening. We went, what was it, the dig party after that?
Yeah, we went to the dig party, and then we went and hung out on 6th Street.
We hit Coyote Ugly, because I remember the $87 shot or whatever it was of some whiskey that I didn't taste that some dude helped me pay for. I don't even know. yeah, and I, you know, it was just so crazy. And then to top it all off, I got pissed off at the end of the night because I had to take like a 15-minute, $40 bus or cab ride back to my hotel, and you were right there on the strip. I was like, what the hell? This is the job I need. And I think that's actually when I decided I needed to get into media. I need to do some of that. So, I'm pretty psyched about that. Tom, From what I remember of meeting him the first time, he's pretty cool. Jason though was kind of the top celebrity, and I don't mean that because he's like 7 foot tall. maybe it's something with tall people, because when I got to hang out with Hootie and Blowfish, Mark whatever the guitarist, he was the coolest member of that band, and he just sat there and he's like 7 foot tall, and he just sat there and shot the shit with me and the other people that had the backstage passes, and that was really cool too. So I'm looking forward to meeting them all. I would love to be able to pick their brain a little bit. Especially Tom, just cause he's like the encyclopedia of all that is life. How do you remember that much shit just off the top of their head? But anyway, maybe I'm just not that smart.
he has an incredible memory. I'm amazed by the stuff that he recalls from years and years ago, you know, talking about how something had rolled out, or talking about, oh no, well, this product had this differentiating thing, and it wasn't really as right. You know, it's really impressive. Like, I'm also hoping that Jenny is there. In at last year's event, Jenny was there, and she's a really interesting person.
Yeah, she's got I'm just gonna be honest, I don't really care to listen to her on DTNS, like on the after show, because she just kind of seems the oddball. But she's got such a history of media, of news, and such an interesting story that she's actually a person that, if she's there, I would want to talk to her as well.
Yeah, she's very cool. And I love her voice. Like, I want her to do my promo bumpers or something, because her voice is just amazing.
Yeah. See, Kent, you need to start watching DTNS and listening to the... well, you have to watch the... Are you frozen? I think Kent's frozen. Yeah, he's definitely frozen. Nothing like, was it tech problems, right? The hardware problems you promised we'd have.
I'm amazed that we got this far without difficulties, considering how the pre-show went.
For those of you not in the know, Kent couldn't decide how to hook up his microphone for the first hour or 40 minutes that we were online. Oh, he just twitched a little bit, and he might actually have some bandwidth going.
Hey, I'm back. You guys froze for like
30 seconds. No, we didn't freeze. No,
we didn't freeze.
We were moving.
Yeah.
Hey, it's all true from your own point of view. So,
we do not have time tonight to talk about relativity. All right, you just do that shit to yourself.
We're already running an hour long.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. So, South by Southwest, I'm hoping to see some really cool stuff, some new products, hear the chatter that people are talking about. And the impetus that just drove us to go to South by Southwest and put it on our calendars in the first place was the hope of South by So Wasted, because Kent didn't even listen to podcasts a year ago. I got him hooked by I gave him a list of my podcasts, and he got hooked on Night Attack, and it's just, he's expanded from there. And of course, now we're doing this. So I know that's an inspiration to him. I'm really just hoping to meet anybody that I can, regardless of what they're involved in, as long as they've got a halfway interesting story.
Yeah.
And some free beer.
Free beer is important. I'm really looking forward to meeting whoever I can meet. Chance Encounter is what brought the two of you into each other's company. There's a lot of awesome people out there, and I know that there's going to be a lot of like-minded people at this South by Southwest thing. So I'm really looking forward to just meeting whoever I can meet.
Cool. I think it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. You're going to have to let us know when you're actually free to do things, Richard. I know you got some things on Friday. You probably got probably got a couple things like every day. So really just a cutoff, like, hey, my last thing on this day is scheduled this time, at least for Friday, Saturday, and maybe even Sunday if you're not doing anything, because we're not leaving until probably Sunday evening.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'll definitely be able to do that.
And anybody watching this or listening to this, because I'm going to try to get it pushed out tomorrow so people have a chance to listen to it. Yeah. Hey!
Oh, wow.
Shitty McShitty over there. What the hell?
I have no room to talk. My production schedule on Home On is always so long.
I just started getting it to where I'm only like it like 2 days. Like Friday, I'd have it pushed out, if not Thursday. No, like the last couple episodes. And then this week, I didn't get it pushed out until like Tuesday early morning. And I was up until 3:30 in the morning. I had technical problems getting it uploaded. And I was just like, this is bullshit. No, if it's not good now, it's just screw it. I'm going. And yep. I went to bed. So, anyway, I'm going to try to get this pushed out. It's kind of long, but I don't think there's anything to edit. So it should be
probably
good.
Probably not much, if anything.
But anyway, that's pretty much our show for the evening, the unplanned spectacularism that is the Ritual Misery podcast. Very, very special thanks to our surprise guest, Richard Gunther. What do you got, man? Where can we find you if people enjoyed your voice and would like to hear more of it?
So I have a couple of voices around the internet. One of them is on Twitter. Actually, about 7 or 8 of them are on Twitter, but they're all aggregated together in one place that I just created a couple of weeks ago. Just go to at Richard Gunther. Easy enough.
Wait. It took you this long to come up with your name?
No, I've had it. I've been squatting.
All right. So at Richard Gunther on Twitter. Yep. Where else? I know you got Home On.
Yeah. So I host two podcasts. One is called Home On. It's a show about do-it-yourself home automation products, home automation for the general consumer and geek. And also Entertainment 2.0, which is a show I co-host. And that's about Microsoft entertainment technology. So Xbox and ways that you can enjoy entertainment on the go with Windows or Windows Phone and stuff like that. So if you're interested in either of those topics, check them out at our blog, The Digital Media Zone, at, easily enough, thedigitalmediazone.com.
Whoa.
Don't get so complicated on us.
How about that?
Calm down.
You know, I learned a new word from listening to Home On. Popcorning.
Popcorning.
Yeah. What is popcorning? Explain it to the uninitiated that I am.
How about, Kent, why don't you explain what popcorning is?
A little confirmation of the knowledge gained. Uh-oh.
Okay, so in a low-tech home, when you go to turn on your light, you flip the switch and voila, let there be light. There is light.
Okay.
Well, a lot of these, you know, super geeky automated homes, when you
just the average place where Richard's concerned.
Yeah, exactly. So when you tell your home system or whatever to, hey, turn the lights on, it's when the like one light comes on and then the next one and then the next one and the next one and the next one, all out of sync, and that's popcorning.
Did you see the light bulb on my head pop in the middle of that?
Yeah.
It was all out of sync, though.
Gotcha.
Weird.
Yeah. Well, right. Otherwise, it wouldn't be popcorning. So. Very cool. All right, Kent. Where can people find more of you? You've only got the two places, which is exactly more than I have. So.
Yeah, at @rm_delnoche on Twitter. I'm always trying to put something funny or interesting on there. But if you're a beer guy, go to ratebeer.com and look up username Del Noche.
Or if you're not a beer guy and you would, or beer gal, I mean, let's just offend women a little bit more during the show, right? if you want to understand what is so good about beer and why so many people drink it, just cruise on over to ratebeer.com and look up Del Noche and at least get his take on it. Maybe you find something that you like. He's probably got a plethora of different ideas for you, depending on what you're into. So,
yeah.
I know. I follow his advice personally because I can stand bitterness and hops in my beer, and he continually tells me, "Hey, go drink this because you're dumb and you don't like the same thing I like." So, yeah. That works out for me.
But see, what I've learned is that you think you don't like these things, but I show you beers that have all these qualities that you say you don't like, and you end up liking those beers. So
there's no proof. There's no proof. Not at all.
Here's just
lies.
Something else about South by Southwest is microbrews. I know there's a couple of them down there. Looking forward to taste testing a few new beers. So
definitely.
That being said, I can be found on Twitter at Ethan Kane. And I try to tweet all kinds of stuff on there, like my 200 wings for a dollar. They just recently changed that sign. I didn't even tag the store in there, but somehow just within a week of me tweeting that, they changed the sign. So now it actually says 60 cents, not half a cent per wing. It's one of my pet peeves. You know, when people put 0.50 cents, like, really? That's like half a cent. Like, I can get a whole bunch of them for like $2. So, if you find things like that irritating, many of Richard's tweets and some of my tweets on Ethan Kane, you can find those and enjoy. You can follow the show on Twitter at Ritual Misery. You submit ideas on our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. I just recently cleaned that out and finally added Kent as an admin to it. So. He can actually clear out his own stuff now. It's the little things in life. You can email us at podcast@ritualmisery.com. You can get us on our home on the web and the aforementioned ritualmisery.com. Amazing how that happens, huh? You can call and leave us a voicemail. We have yet to receive our first voicemail, although I have gotten a couple calls that didn't amount to anything on our line. It's 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. The music that we use for our show comes courtesy of Kevin MacLeod on a Creative Commons license. And that's our show. So thanks for listening. For Kent, for Richard, for myself, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Or should I say everyone? Is everybody, is that one of those words that you're not supposed to say in proper English? Everybody?
Everybody. Everybody. I think everybody is correct.
Everybody is the proper term?
Yes, that's the...
that's
what the kids are saying these days.
That makes sense, you know. I can see it. English is an evolving language. I'm just glad that you're there to keep me on the straight and narrow.
Which letters did we take out to make it sound like that?
I think we get rid of the V.
Everybody. The V.
Everybody.
Is the other E still in there, or did they take that? Is it like a E-R, one of those little apostrophe deals, and then body?
I think it's like E-R. I think it's E-R apostrophe B-D-Y.
Everybody.
Everybody. Something. I don't know. Something like that.
I don't know. That could be.